Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing cable comeback, Robinhood retirement, and the $42 billion question.
That's right, buddy. This is our Friday flight. And actually, before we get to our favorite stories from this past week, we have a little update. So last Friday, we celebrated our 600th episode.
That's right, we did.
We celebrated that by deciding to give away $600 to our listeners.
I mean, why not?
And
I said $600,000, but you said, I don't have that kind of money.
I ain't got that FTX money.
Yeah. But no, FTX doesn't have any money anymore.
They don't have money.
Yeah, just like us.
So the way that listeners were able to enter in to win that money, all that you needed to do was to sign up for the How to Money newsletter. And as long as you did that, you were entered in to win. And you and I, we did the randomizer and chose the top six results.
Yes, we did.
And so Stephen WB, Tyler S, Jen R, Norma T, Miranda K, and Mikey G. We will be reaching out to all six of you because y'all just won $100 each.
And by the way, if you forgot,
cash money,
didn't get around to it, we had a ton of people sign up for the newsletter. Thank you for that. But if there are folks out there listening, they're like, I forgot and I can't win $600, so I'm just not going to sign up for the newsletter. No, that's the exact wrong thing to do. Well, we're going to have more giveaways in the future, but
yep, we'll do this again.
There is a reward just in and of itself by being a How to Money newsletter subscriber.
That's right. All the financial wisdom and nuggets of information that come your way via that newsletter every single Tuesday morning.
Yep.
But Joel, real quick, I wanted to take a minute to update everybody on my the grocery experiment that Kate and I said that we're going to conduct. Remember this?
You took a month off Costco, right?
Right. So basically, we wanted to take that month off Costco because I noticed that ever since we started shopping primarily at Costco for our groceries, our budget had increased significantly.
Uh-huh.
And so I talked about it with Kate and she was totally down to conduct this little experiment. And so we switched back to our original OG, which is Aldi. And are you ready to hear the results?
I don't know if I want to. I might plug my ears.
Dude, our grocery budget went down over 30%.
What?
Yes, over 30%. And so Kate will argue, she's like, well, the quality, and this is one of your favorite lines too, like the quality is higher
for
at
sure.
Costco. And I get that. I think, well, there are certain things where you are getting a superior product. But
well,
I think,
I bet too, I wonder if one of the reasons is, I wonder if you still have some things hanging around from that Costco trip from September
We took that into account though, because Kate was just like, yeah, we do have some frozen veggies and some frozen meat that we did consume in the month of November that we purchased in October. But we basically accounted for all of that.
Yeah.
And even still, dude, even still, they're over 30%.
All right.
And there are various reasons why that might be the case for us, right? Like whether it's just They've got a variety of products that Aldi doesn't carry, right? Like Aldi just has the staples. I've talked about that before. And how at Costco, I'm tempted to get the special Japanese barbecue sauce or the truffle hot sauce.
It's in the fridge.
They got all the sauces
in our clubhouse right now.
Love putting that on the leftovers. But I think there's an element of the fact that everything comes in larger quantities in bulk. I think we were just eating more. I think we were being encouraged to consume more calories. That plus, you know, I think that we were tossing more food away. I think there was more waste as well. But regardless, this is anecdotal. This is just us. Your mileage may vary, but I definitely wanted to share that with listeners because, hey, we do love Costco. There are certainly benefits, but I still think if you are looking to slash your grocery bill to the bone, I do think that the best place to do that is at Aldi.
I think you're right. I think when you're talking about how can I get away by spending the least amount of money possible on food while still being able to eat like decent stuff, right?
Yeah.
I think Aldi is the answer. I mean, I think Costco...
It takes a little more creativity and maybe a little bit more time in the kitchen preparing the... Because that's the thing too, man. At Costco, we're buying so much more prepared stuff, like snack kind of stuff. And that's a budget buster, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I think Costco makes sense for a lot of people. If they're going to it eyes wide open, knowing that they might spend more money, but knowing, hey, there's a trade-off and I'm getting better quality of certain ingredients. Like, man, you can't compare the quality of a Costco steak to the quality of an Aldi steak. Like, they're different.
Probably true.
Different animals, right? Like, literally different animals. But
with one, you're talking about a horse, and the other one, you're talking about a cow.
Right. So, just from something like that, you're not directly comparing apples and apples.
Exactly.
But if you're talking, and Aldi's just more accessible for a lot of people for so many reasons. There's like smaller stores, they're closer, and you're just talking about less likelihood that your budget runs amok because you spent too much on Japanese barbecue sauce at the warehouse club. There's all sorts of little things like that that do pique your interest, and if you're not careful, you can let those, I forget how the CEO refers to them, but like those things that you find along the way, like they want to excite your interest in Costco with the rapid turnover of products.
They want to delight you as a customer.
But that can be to the detriment of your wallet for sure.
That's right, man. All right. Well, wanted to quickly share that. And again, to the six winners, we will be reaching out to you because, of course, we have your email since you signed up for the newsletter.
Right.
We'll be reaching out to you to get you that money. Joel, let's move on, man. Let's get to our Friday flight, which is, of course, a quick sampling of the stories that we found most interesting this week. And the Times, they had an article about inflating prices of Christmas trees. Yes, inflation has made real-life Christmas trees more expensive as well, along with everything else in your life. The average price last year for a Christmas tree was $70 for a live fir tree. This year is closer to $80, and the best advice from the Times is to buy a smaller tree, which I think is... I think that's good advice.
Say go the Charlie Brown route.
Yeah. Because, I mean, prices on a 6-foot tree, it's going to be a lot less than what it'll cost you for an 8-foot tree. Back in the day, that's something Kate and I used to do. We literally would get the smaller tree and put it on a milk crate, like there on a box, elevate it, and then kind of like wrap it with a
tree liner? I don't know.
Skirt or whatever goes around it at the bottom. So you get some of that actual height, but you're just not spending it all on the actual tree.
I like it.
But it also pays to shop around, of course. And if you aren't massively attached to real life Christmas or, you know, like natural Christmas trees or whatever, you might want to look for a deal on a fake Christmas tree after Christmas is over.
For sure. You can pay for it in less than 2 years. I think you paid for yours in less than 2 years. Same here. I think we spent $70 on ours or something.
There you go.
They've got fancy ones. Speaking of Costco inflation, I was there the other day. I saw they had $500 artificial Christmas trees. I'm like, okay.
You got these premium ones that look very real.
Like those are the fancy ones. I don't need that.
Keep an eye on those jokers.
Yeah, maybe
if they go on clearance. I mean, because ours isn't. So I told everybody how I removed that bottom section.
Yeah.
It's in order to fit our new lower ceilings, but it doesn't sit super well in the stand now because, because it's not as fat and so it leans.
So you are in the market for one at some point.
Yeah, we actually might be. So.
December 26th, man. That's the day to do it.
Yeah, I know. Actually, so you watched Spirited as well, like the Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds movie or whatever. This story referenced like the real life Christmas tree guild or something like that. It just made me think of that movie because like that's a PR campaign that he launched. And I was like, oh man, there's actually this real life
real life thing.
There really is one of those, yeah. Well, let's move on, Matt. Like, obviously, yeah, Christmas is, Christmas trees are a little more expensive this year, which is a problem, but I think most people, they've probably, I don't know, if they haven't gotten theirs yet, they're going to get it this weekend in all likelihood. And I'm not sure if Costco still does the live tree thing. If they do, that's always been the cheapest place, actually, over the years to get Christmas trees, because they literally, like, don't set them up in storage or anything. They're, like, handing them to you out of the back of a truck. But let's move on. Let's talk about savings rates, Matt, because savings rates in the United States are plummeting. And after seeing a massive spike in the savings rates of Americans in 2020, 2021, October of this year, we have some new data, and it turns out savings rates dipped quite a bit to the lowest levels actually since 2005. The average savings rate in October, when you were still shopping at Costco, was a paltry 2.3%. That's according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. And basically, folks are less interested in saving because they have, and I've never really loved this term, but they have what's known to economists as excess savings still on hand. So basically, people feel like they can hit pause on saving that money because they've still got more money in the bank than they're used to having. So because of the lingering stimulus checks, people are like, yeah, I still got more cash on hand than I typically do. So I can not save some of the money that's coming in. I can spend more of it. The problem is it's easy to get used to spending more due to what's known as hedonic adaptation. We get used to a certain lifestyle, and then cutting back really hurts. Whereas it would have been easier if we had never experienced that inflated lifestyle to begin with.
Exactly. Yes. It's tough to dial it back. And as a recent Times headline put it, we can't keep spending like this. And it's true, right? Because at some point, those excess funds, those savings, they're going to get drained. And, you know, hopefully we have already experienced peak inflation. But of course, we would suggest that you keep your war chest full. We want you to hold on to more of those savings. And I think a lot of folks are, in particular, as younger listeners are still trying to save up for those down payments, right? Yeah. Like, that's a lot of money that they want to keep at the ready. But basically, we also don't want you to spend all that money because we don't want you to be like the average American, especially if you're one of the individuals who has seen their student loan payments paused. Just keep in mind that they're not going to stay that way forever, right? Like, we don't want you to take your excess savings as a chance to spend.
Yeah.
If you're still hanging on to some, use it as a chance to make more progress, you know, towards your financial goals. And fortunately, as rates on savings accounts have continued to tick upwards, it just doesn't feel nearly as much like you're being penalized for holding cash anymore. At least you're getting paid something for hanging on to that cash.
Yeah, for sure. And on that note, there was another article this week that echoes our sentiments 100% on that front. And this is what we refer to as the $42 billion question, because that's how actually the Wall Street Journal referred to it this week. And that's that article was about how much money that savers left on the table in Q3 of this year by staying with the big banks that barely pay a pittance on interest in their savings mm-hmm. accounts. And we're not going to beat a dead horse. I feel like we talk about this a lot. But let that number sink in. $42 billion
just in Q3,
in one quarter
that savers lost out on,
because like, they're still earning 0.01% with one of the big banks when they could have been earning 3.5%+, right? And so inertia bias is strong, we get it, but this is one move worth making. You make it once and then you don't really have to think about it again. We'll link to an article in the show notes that will help you make that switch, because you might be saying like, but I just don't even know how to do this, and it sounds like a big pain, and it sounds like it's going to be, I think it's going to be really hard. But the truth is, it's not very hard.
Nope.
And the benefits, not just the interest rate, there are a lot of other benefits to banking somewhere that's other than the big banks as well, like fewer fees, better customer service, better mm-hmm. App interface typically. So there's a lot of reasons to make the switch. And we want to help you do that with this article if you haven't done it yet.
That's right. And it's easier than you think. So Joel, in the title of the episode, you mentioned Robinhood. I feel like that's a name that we haven't said recently. Everyone's like, oh, Robinhood.
So
haven't talked about them in a while.
18 months ago, 2 years ago.
So listener Tyler, he actually sent us an email basically immediately on Tuesday after an announcement from Robinhood was made about them finally launching IRAs. There is currently a wait list, but it looks like this is going to roll out to the general public come January. And of course, we've knocked Robinhood over the years for not offering retirement accounts. I think that was probably one of the biggest strikes against them.
Yeah, we were like, a lot of these other platforms, M1 is Robinhood's competitor in a lot of ways. And we were like, M1's doing way better. And they allow you to have retirement accounts. Yep. Like, that's a way better option.
Because, of course, we want folks investing within those tax-advantaged accounts first before you invest in your Robinhood account, which previously, and I guess even now, is just brokerage accounts. So it was welcome news to hear that you can now open a traditional or a Roth IRA on their platform. Plus, and here's the kicker, man, Robinhood is offering a 1% match on contributions that you make to your IRA on their platform.
The first of its kind.
It's awesome. Yeah, like literally nobody else in the business is offering anything like this. And so folks are, you're probably thinking, oh, Matt and Joel, they're going to be all about this. They completely love this, right? Well,
because typically
it's a mixed bag.
You have to work somewhere and get in, your employer does the match, right?
Yes.
But this is Robinhood saying, no, we're going to incentivize you.
As the brokerage, as the company itself, they are providing the match, which I think is awesome.
Sure.
And so it is a mixed bag, though. Like, we love that Robinhood is offering that match incentive. But there are some other things you need to consider. And we would recommend for folks to check out the FAQs section on their website. And we'll link to this in the show notes. But if you want to keep that 1% match, there is a 5-year vesting period. And also, we noticed too, there is an outgoing transfer fee of $100, which is pretty steep.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that our very favorite brokerage houses, Fidelity and Vanguard, neither one of them charge anything in order to transfer funds out of an IRA.
Zero versus 100, that's a big deal.
Exactly.
So it sounds really nice, but yeah, you might be handcuffed to Robinhood.
Which may not be the worst thing in the world, though, right? Like, because I'll say it almost feels like Robinhood, like that they're starting to live up their name a little bit, right? Because by encouraging investors to stick with them for that 5-year vesting period, essentially, not only are they encouraging investors to stay with them, but they're encouraging investors to not touch money that should be invested for the long term, right? And so as opposed to before,
it seems more self-interested than an attempt to help people actually save for the long haul.
But if it's win-win, I don't see the harm in that, right? And if I can get on there as someone who has been self-employed virtually my entire life, where I have never experienced a company match.
This would be your first match.
We were able to provide ourselves a match, you and I, as business owners, but
through our solo 401k,
exactly. But for it to feel like it's something that you are getting completely free, I'm actually really stinking bullish on this. I'm pretty excited about it, and I'll be looking into it and keeping folks posted if I do end up doing that, because I think I will. I really do. And I think a lot of folks are also saying, dude, it's just 1%. But imagine, like, basically what I think what Robinhood is doing here, like, they're essentially forcing a 1% fee on everybody else. It's almost as if your 401k, because if I can get VOO, which you can get Vanguard ETFs, you know, on the Robinhood platform, by going with Robinhood instead of even through Vanguard, by Robinhood offering that 1%, it's almost as if Vanguard, if they instituted a 1% expense ratio or something like that. And so while it doesn't sound like a lot of money, that 1%, it adds up over time.
True. We've always said it's not meaningless, right?
Like, it's not meaningless,
when you
exactly.
bump up your 401k contribution by 1%, that matters over the long haul. And so if you're, this holiday season, you're thinking, okay, I have more money on hand than I thought I was going to have, and you bump that up, that's a big deal. Like, that's something worthy of praise. And so I think you're right. Like, I don't want to
compounds over time.
But I also want to make sure that Robinhood is going to do right by investors, because...
I'm not sure. Hopefully they do, right? Yeah. Like, they haven't been around as long as Vanguard or Fidelity, and they've been around for like, 100, a long time. I don't know if 100 years yet, but Robinhood's, I think they've been around for close to a decade now. They're not like a new fintech startup.
No, but they also haven't developed the best reputation in that decade.
That's true.
Right?
That's
so true. I'm not sure if I'm willing to give up the bird in the hand that is one of these low-cost brokerages that we love to head over to Robinhood for this match. But I will say, like, if you haven't started contributing to a traditional or Roth IRA yet, and this match, this incentive actually gets you to do that, if this is the behavioral kick in the pants, that pushes you in that direction, I think that's great.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to dissuade people from doing business with Robinhood. I just don't know if I'm going to migrate over there just for this.
Fair enough.
But we'll see more, especially as the rollout continues to happen right now. I signed up to be on the wait list just to kind of check it out, and I think I'm 421,000 people behind, so it'll be a minute. But while we're talking about IRAs, Matt, I just wanted to mention too that the Roth IRA, Robinhood offers the traditional and the Roth, just like most of these brokerage companies that we talk about, just like Vanguard and Fidelity, you can do either one with both of them, or with Schwab, or with M1, which is great. But there's so many reasons that we've talked about ad nauseum on this show over the years about why you should opt for, why so many people should opt for a Roth over a traditional IRA. That, you know, the fact that tax rates are historically low and set to go up, you know, at the, yep, at the expiration of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2025, that's a solid reason to contribute more to your Roth instead of a traditional. You know, the flexibility of that particular account is another reason. But a third is that Roth IRAs do not force you to take required minimum distributions. And
those RMDs.
Yeah, I know most of us, we're trying to visualize our future self, and that's actually helping us save more in the here and now for our futures. Identify with 65-year-old Matt and Joel, right? We want to like kind of realize, wait, we want to be well taken care of at that age, yeah, and we want the more financial flexibility. But yeah, required minimum distributions can really have a major impact on your tax liability in retirement. And so, yeah, if we'll link to an article that'll kind of help you see just how bad it can get. But yeah, for most folks, not all, but for most, prioritizing a Roth IRA is going to be the best way to optimize your retirement contributions, allowing you the most flexibility throughout the years.
That's right, man. We've got several other stories that we're going to get to here right after the break, including that cable comeback story. Looking forward to that right after this.
Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Kachava.com/howtomoney.
You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life? What are you doing now to help you to get there? Well, there are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP.
What about that dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events.
So, it's safe to say, it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, your health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. All right, the Friday flight continues. And of course, we always, right after the break, we have to get to our ludicrous headline of the week. And this one comes from the Washington Post, Matt. And this one, it's a curveball. Okay, I'm not going to lie. It's not typically like what we talk about. This isn't quite as much personal finance as it is just literally a ludicrous headline. And
it's definitely ludicrous.
Yeah. All right. So here's how it reads. It says, her mac and cheese took more than 3.5 minutes to make. She's suing. And yeah, like it just, struck me as cringeworthy when I read it. And to me, it just speaks to how litigious we've gotten as a society, which actually costs all of us more money. So I guess in some ways it is kind of a personal finance thing. Like these lawsuits, they are going to mean that Velveeta now has to pay their lawyers. They got to lawyer up in order to defend their reputation. And basically what this woman is alleging is she's saying that the Velveeta mac and cheese carton takes 3.5 minutes to make, but that's just how much time it takes in the microwave. She's got to take the lid off, add the water, stir the cheese. It just made me feel like we're living in odd times. I don't like to see stuff like this. And I false advertising is a problem, and it needs to be.
Sure.
Sometimes lawsuits need to happen in order to curb bad company behavior. This feels like one of those frivolous things that's just kind of frustrating to read.
It seems pretty dumb. Yeah, that's exactly what the case that they're trying to make. They're like, no, it doesn't matter how ridiculous, like this is false advertising.
Yeah.
And so there's like a part of me that kind of understands where they're coming from. Like, so it makes me think of as a kid, I would open the pantry and there's a box of ice cream cones, right? Like of sugar cones. And I would always open the box because it had a picture of an ice cream cone with ice cream in it. And I would always open the box as a, dumb little kid thinking that there might be ice cream in there. And I would actually do it multiple times, just hoping that the results were going to change magically somehow. And so, yeah, a part of me gets the whole false advertising thing. But again, I was a dumb little 5-year-old. And so as an adult, I think Amanda Ramirez maybe just think if she spent her time in better ways, that would be more productive for society if she maybe focused on her personal finances instead of taking Velveeta or Kraft or whoever to court.
Right. Yeah. No, it's, I mean, I don't like seeing it. And fortunately, your 5-year-old self didn't end up suing the ice cream cone maker.
I had better things to do with my time, Joel.
But think about how wealthy you'd be if you had.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, mac and cheese that comes in a box or comes in a cup like that, not going to touch that stuff.
Yeah, sorry, me neither.
Even if they do fix
this marketing stuff.
I get grossed out
just watching their commercials and like the liquid gold stuff. I'm sorry.
It's so
gross,
not
for me.
Not good. But moving on. So a while back, we did an entire episode about streaming and how it is that you can curb your bill. One of our major suggestions actually was to watch less content in general, right? Because a cadre of streaming bills can quickly add up. And as more and more streaming services have launched over the past couple of years in particular, there's just the potential for your bill to get really out of hand. So much so that the folks over at CNET, they wrote an article about how traditional cable, how it's not nearly as terrible of a deal as it used to be. The average cost for basic cable plus internet these days is $128. And they found that the average cost of live TV streaming plus internet for those who cut the cord, for those who cut cable, it's actually $120. That's pretty dang close. So close.
Got a horse race on our hands.
Yeah, here. Yeah. That we think it is worth revisiting. That's why we're talking about this.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly feels like CNET has a point here, right? Because cutting the cord, it used to be the obvious way to save. Like, I kind of got tired of hearing it from personal finance experts because it's like, duh. Yeah, I know. That's it became ubiquitous. And everybody knew that the way to save money every single month on, what they watched was to cut the cord and ditch cable.
That's right.
But the opposite might be true now, which is crazy because if you're paying for one of those live streaming services, but you're also subscribed to a whole bunch of other streaming services too, there's a chance that you might be paying more now than you used to pay for your old internet and cable bundle.
That's right.
And I doubt that there's going to be this mass exodus, Matt, from streaming back to cable, partly because we all got used to no commercials, but it's at least worth doing the math and considering if you're a heavy TV watcher, especially for sports, especially for live sports, it feels...
Oh, yeah.
I still can't believe I'm saying this, but cable might make more sense for you.
Dude, Fubo TV, they're monthly. It's so expensive.
What is it, like $75?
It's 70, like maybe $79.99.
Okay.
Like it might be $80. And so, yeah. I mean, same thing with YouTube Live.
And then you've got to buy internet on top of that.
Oh my God.
Standalone internet.
It's really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it adds up.
Again, watching less TV overall leads to spending less, but cable might be the better solution. It's worth shopping around packages if you're saying, man, my streaming bill's gotten out of control. It might, I don't know, this could be the best, most effective financial solution for you to move back to cable if that suits your lifestyle, if that suits your watching habits, and if it's going to suit your budget better.
That's right, man. Let's keep moving. So we've never loved the credit scoring models, right? So the major credit bureaus, for the most part, they're not very good at their jobs. Errors are rife and they hardly ever respond to pleas for help in a timely or effective manner.
Yeah, if you fill out a complaint, they usually Just don't respond. That's how they...
It's like, stonewall you, right. Or maybe they'll get back to you next year. But still, it's necessary to keep a watchful eye on your score. It's important to seek to improve your score. It's just like a crappy game that we're all basically forced to play. Well, credit scores are under fire again, but this time because of identity theft claims from individuals that actually might not be true. The Journal wrote a story about how more Americans are hiring third-party companies to help challenge negative information on their credit reports, but many of those companies are also challenging actual legitimate debts as well. And so while, you know, for the most part, I feel like the credit bureaus, they're crap, right? But many of these credit repair companies are actually worse.
Another horse race. This is a horse race.
Which one sucks the most?
Yeah.
And so what we would recommend is just to not ever pay one of these companies to challenge something on your credit report for you. If you think that you've been a victim of ID theft, we would recommend that you go straight to, first of all, like your bank, but then you can file a complaint at identitytheft.gov. But there's rarely anything that these companies can do that you can't do yourself. And it seems that, I don't know, maybe some of these folks out there, maybe they're kind of like hiring these companies thinking that they've got like some sort of magic sauce, some sort of special right. algorithm, when in reality what they're doing, they're just bombarding the credit bureaus. It's almost like a brute force attack on a website.
Yeah.
Like website nerdery for you.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And then some of that's slipping through, and because of that, it's allowing some of those scores to improve. But don't do something like that when... Like, you're hiring a company to do the dirty work for you. It's just not cool to do that when you wouldn't lie to them directly. So don't do it in a roundabout way by hiring one of these companies.
Sure. Well, and it's not like the results are going to be long lived, and it's going to cost you a lot of money potentially as well. And so it's just a bad idea. And the FTC, they just sent out a warning about these debt relief companies in the aftermath of a lawsuit that they're heading up on behalf of consumers who have been impacted by some of these shady companies. And the biggest piece of advice they offer is to never pay someone money up front who tells you that they can reduce or eliminate credit card debt, or if they claim that they can lift your credit score out of the dumps. These are common claims, and it sounds really nice. It's like, hey, this company's going to do it on my behalf. I'll pay them a couple $100.
You got to pay me first.
$400 or $500 right now, and then they are going to, you know, lift my score or find a way to help me jettison some of this debt. Well, sadly, that's not what ends up happening almost ever. And so if your credit score is subpar, we would say go back and listen to episode 287. We'll link to that in the show notes. The reality is you don't need a perfect credit score, but having a solid one is crucial for your financial future. And this is something that you can DIY, though, right? This is something you don't need to hire someone else to do on your behalf. And actually, it's not going to work in the long run if you do. But let's say your credit score is in good shape, but you have debt that you're finding it basically impossible to pay off. Mm. Call your credit card company directly to ask for a payment plan or to ask for a lower interest rate, or, you know, go speak to a credit counselor at a nonprofit like Money Management International or NFCC, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Those are the places you turn. Those are the people that are actually
legit helping companies, legit organizations.
Yeah, nonprofits that will counsel you in the right direction, who won't lead you astray. Unlike these for-profit companies that say, yeah, pay us $500 and we'll see what we can make happen. That's going to leave you just poorer and still with a crummy credit score at the end of the day.
That's right. All right, let's move on to our last story of the day, and let's talk about the cost of utilities, because home energy costs are not cheap right now. The average cost of heating a home this winter, it's predicted to be 18% more than it was last year, which is a significant increase.
Talk about inflation.
And the weather, it's getting colder across the, you know, most of the country at least, even though yesterday it was like 70 something degrees in Atlanta.
That's Atlanta, man. We're
so hot.
We're odd. I saw somebody post and it was something like, it's going to be winter at 6 a.m. It's going to be fall at 9 a.m. It's going to be summer at 1 p.m. And it's like, yes, that's exactly what it is.
But with the timing, we figured this is a good idea to cover maybe just a few ways to lower the cost of heating your home. So we've got a few tips, a few thoughts for you. First of all, of course, lower the temperature on your thermostat by a couple degrees. Put on a sweater, right? Like everyone in your household this winter should be wearing long johns or thermals or like whatever it is that you call
them. If you're frugal, that's what you do.
In your region.
Because what is it? It's something like every degree you turn down your thermostat, it's going to save you 8% on your energy bill. And if you think about it like that, bam, three ticks down and you're like, okay.
Significant.
I'm going to save a giant chunk on what I'm spending to heat this house this month.
Exactly. But obviously there's other things you can do too, right? Like taking shorter showers, running your washing machine on cold water instead of hot. That's one that I can't remember when I heard it, sometime earlier this year, but I heard a story where a lot of folks, they do hot water when they're washing their clothes because they think it works better. They think it dissolves the soap better. But in reality, a lot of the detergents, they're formulated to work better in cold water. And so that's one where you actually might be wasting money without receiving any benefit from that. Plus, shortening the life expectancy of your clothes as well, because that hot water, doesn't hot water kind of wear down your clothes a little bit faster?
For sure.
Maybe causes a little more shrinkage. And on that note, too, you can lower the temperature on your actual hot water heater as well, although that's one that I was going to say a dad joke about. That one got, that one got me in hot water as well.
No, I actually did
but
that.
But we've got our hot water heater turned down to where it's pretty much good for like two showers before our kids have to start like, the water's getting cold, and they have to get out of there.
That's good. Or take a cold shower.
Makes them tough.
That's right.
They're getting hard.
Yeah, and then it lowers your bill too. Yeah, I lowered mine was like scalding. And so I just like brought it down a few ticks, and it's like, okay, now it's kind of normal, which is great. Save me money though. And a little bit of weather stripping can go a long way in preventing heat from escaping too. There's a lot of little things you can do, right? And if you want to do something bigger, well, next year is going to be the year to do it, because there's going to be increased tax benefits in 2023 when it comes to taking some of these energy saving measures. That's my plan. I'm going to put in some additional insulation in my attic space.
Oh, nice.
Because I want to take advantage of that 30% tax credit that's coming into being next year.
Yeah, yeah. Our attic is good, but I want to, my plan is to put insulation in the crawl space, like up underneath the floor.
Because
the floors, I've noticed this winter on the main level or on the lower level, it's cold, man.
Yeah.
Like there's no insulation up under there. So I've been waiting for that 2023.
Yeah, just wait for the calendar to turn.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can do that. Well, and one other thing, if you're having trouble with how expensive the energy bills are getting in this country, a lot more people are going to have trouble paying their bills. Well, there's a low income energy assistance program. We'll link to a site that can help you figure out how to get help if you need it in the show notes. But you can also just reach out to your state program manager or to your local utility company to see like, hey, do I qualify with if this is my level of income, do I qualify for subsidized energy assistance? And I think, Matt, just a lot of people don't know about that program, but who knows how many money listeners that might apply to.
Exactly. Or at least folks that they might know who can help as well. That's right, man. Well, that's going to be it for this episode. Listeners can find our show notes up on the website at howtomoney.com. We'll make sure to link to these stories plus any resources we may have mentioned. We hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. And like we mentioned at the top of the episode, go ahead and sign up for the How to Money newsletter. That way you are guaranteed to not miss out on any future giveaways that we do via the newsletter.
That's right.
But Joel, that's going to be it for this episode, buddy. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.